read to you during our communion time. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's where we're going to be for a little bit this morning. And I'm going to speak to you this morning really as an accumulation of a lot of things going on here, things we have experienced here from my own heart and from the Word of God, no doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start a bit of a new series here, and I'm really just looking for the Lord to lead me as to what we're going to do. But this is the first of a new series, I thought I had a name for it, but I don't. So, let me start this way. Sometimes the Lord just leads you. You know, we all say that. We're all really good at saying that. He's my Lord. You know, the Lord leads me. May the Lord lead you. And then the Lord starts to lead you. And then you kind of go, whoa, 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 whoa. Where are we going? What are we doing? That's not what I'm used to. I didn't really want to go there, Lord. And so we have this thing of the Lord leading us versus what we want to shape and kind of call our religion. And so I want to talk to you a little bit in these next few weeks about the Lord leading us, because I believe right now the Lord is leading us. I think the Lord is there, and it's kind of like he's there and we can see him and we're going, hey, Lord, come down and tell us all the things, the next thing, because we can see him. He's leading us. He's over us. He's here, and he's going, no, I'm not going to do that, but get ready because we're getting ready to make a move here. We're getting ready to go, but I'm not going to come and tell you what all we're going to do. Just follow. When I show up, you get ready to go because I'm moving. Well, Lord, come here and tell us so we can prepare and we can know. And no, just be ready to go. And so there's an enormous difference between letting the Lord, your Lord, lead and just going where he takes you, and you creating this religion, this ministry, this thing. And this is how it is. I liken it. It's a difference. Anybody here roller coaster? You like roller coasters? Anybody here like roller coasters? You love roller coasters. Yeah? Yeah. Casey, you got a roller coaster? Oh man, that's a roller coaster. Watch old Casey in a roller coaster. Here we go. You got your GoPro on. Oh man, that first hill, it's huge, it's a big hill, and you start to go down, and you're really moving about now. This curve right here will get you, and you're just kind of leaning into it, aren't you? A roller coaster, right? There's only one real way to ride a roller coaster. Do you know what that is? That's your hands up. In the front row, probably. If somebody beat you to it and you got to get in the second seat, that's okay too. But if you can get in that front seat and you're on click, 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 and you get up to that very top, like at Cedar Point, that one great big top hill, and you're right there, you don't close your eyes and grab a hold like this, and you don't, that's the worst way to ride a roller coaster. Your hands are up and it lets go, and you are screaming and going, yeah! And that's how you ride a roller coaster. That is it. that is like following the Lord. I mean, it can be this joyful, exhilarating, amazing thing, or you can go and do this and just be whipped all over the place. It would be awful, wouldn't it, if someone got on a roller coaster and they said, I'm going to ride that big, old, huge roller coaster, and you said, okay, and they walked up and gave someone a box, and they said, here's a box, and I'll tell you what you do. If you get really scared, see that button right there? You press it, and that'll control the speed. You can go as slow as you want to go. And so they get up that top of that hill, and all of a sudden they get over the top, and they're going, and you're just barely creeping down that hill. And you come to the first curve, and instead of going like, you're just like, I'm scared. And so you're going like this. And everybody's back in line, and it takes like, instead of a two-minute roller coaster, it takes like 30 minutes because some wimp is up there with this control button going, no. That's boring. That takes all the life out of a roller coaster. That takes all the fun out of the roller coaster. There's one thing I know about a roller coaster. It is built for maximum excitement. There's a power source, right? There's a power source. Something has to move you and kind of keep you and pull you and hold you. There's a power source. And then there's the speed factor, right? I mean, it just goes so fast and your stomach comes right out. And then there's these forces like a G-force and a centrifugal force, and you're going down and you're going around and you're just kind of riding. There's these forces and this speed, and you want to grab a hold of it and slow it down to nothing, and you take all that out of play, and you have the most boring ride on the planet. That's what you and I do with our belief, with our Lord. We have the most amazing, powerful force in heaven, this power. And he says, here we go, I'm leading. And sometimes the speed is just way too fast for us, and these forces are way too much, and it feels like we're going to come off the tracks. And that's the whole point of it. A roller coaster makes you feel like the speed and these forces are going to throw you right off the track. But you go with it, don't you? You go with it. You take your hands off the bar and you go with it, and you feel the curves and you just have a ball. That's following Jesus. That's following him, letting him pull you, letting him take us, not confining and crafting and putting him in this box. The problem with religion is it always has an explanation. For everything, there's an explanation. Following Jesus doesn't make sense sometimes. In religion, there's always a box to check. Well, let's say, what are we going to do? Check that. We did that. We did that. We did that. We did. There's always an outline in religion. There's always a phase or a stage in religion. With all those boxes and check marks and outlines, there are restrictions and there are parameters. And following Jesus just seems to be like it's wide open. It's just like, where are you going to take me next? And how are we going to do this? And I can't check any boxes. And I feel vulnerable. And I think the real word is I feel out of control, and I want control. I want to harness you. And so that's the problem with religion. Problem number one, there's always has to be an explanation. Following Jesus, there doesn't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's just one verse I want to look at today, and Matt was right. Wednesday night blew us away, and this verse, this chapter, and these verses were mentioned, and I just it just blew up in my mind, and I said, "That's it." And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. You see, the background to this is that Paul, his ministry was under attack by religion, by Jewish religion. The Jewish religious leaders were attacking Paul. They were slandering him in various attack type things. And so he's defending his ministry. He's defending his following Christ against the religious, those Jews. And he makes this statement in verse 13. "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it's for you." If we're beside ourselves, and the word really means if we're out of our mind. And you can see it set in contrast to, "And if we're in our right mind, it's for you." So if we're in our right mind, it's for you. But if we're out of our mind, if we seem out of our mind, it's for God. That's exactly what he's saying here. Greek word existemi, out of our mind. And so as Paul is defending what he's doing in his ministry, he's saying, if you're looking at me now, if you're seeing what we're doing, and you say, "You're out of your mind," he says, "That's true. I'm out of my mind. I look like I'm out of my mind following my God. If this looks crazy, insane, that's what it looks like to follow Christ to some. But," he says, if I'm in my right mind, if I'm sensible and sober, well, that's for you, because I follow Christ and I look like I'm out of my mind, and then I've got to come to you and I've got to explain it all to you, and so then I've got to come back into my right mind and kind of be sensible and explain to you, this is how it looks, this is where we're going, this is what Jesus is. And so he says, if I'm out of my mind, I'm following him, but then I come back to my senses and then I explain it to you. And so he says, yeah, I could look both. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? If I'm out of my mind, it's for God. But if I look like I'm in my mind, if I have my right mind, then that's because I got to talk to you. That's exactly what he's saying here. Now, is this normal? That's the question. And is this normal for us? That's the question. Should that be the case with us? Should we follow Christ to this point where we look like we're out of our mind? What are we doing? Like Paul? Or should we craft a religion and a ministry and look like that? Is this normal? So I have two case studies for you. And one is in Mark chapter 5. He won't have it up on the board. You'll need to turn in your Bible. Mark chapter 5, case study number 1. There was this is great. Pat Reiner, I talked to you. We were talking about Robbie this morning. We prayed, and I didn't even know it, but this part of this message, I think, is for you. This is for you. Here's a story in Mark chapter 5 about a 12-year-old and this ruler's daughter, and this 12-year-old was dying. And so for our purposes, here's the scenario. Here's how I want you to look at it. We're at Goshen Hospital in the emergency room, and the 12-year-old is laying there on the bed in the emergency room, dying, and the monitors are all hooked up. And we've called for the pastor to come and pray for this 12-year-old girl. And the pastor hasn't got there yet, and the monitor goes, beep. She's gone. And the nurses and everybody looks, and they try some things to revive, and it's beep, and they turn it off. And they say, we're going to give you some time with your 12-year-old daughter. And Jesus walks in. Pastor Jesus walks in. And he says, oh, yeah, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laugh. And the doctors and the nurses, you crazy? The monitor, beep, she's dead. No, I'm sorry, she's dead. You know, she's sleeping. And he walks over to her, and that's what happens. He takes her by the hand, and he said, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking. She was only 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. They were out of their mind. Ex istemi. They immediately, and you would be too, if this happened to you, if this was your day today, and I walked in and you said, Pastor, it's too late, she's gone. I said, oh, she's not gone, she's sleeping. And I walked over and I said, girl, come on, girl, get up, it's time, get up. And she sat up. You wouldn't be, this is not mundane, oh, wow. This is like, what? This is like, I am out of my mind amazed. Case study number one. Case study number two is in Mark chapter 3. This is Jesus. And he is picking his 12 apostles. And religion is already after him. And in Mark chapter 3 and verse 22, religion says about Jesus, he's possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. This is the story where his mother and his brothers come to get him, and he says, well, who are my mothers and my brothers? Isn't it these? Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so they couldn't even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. They said that. His mom and brothers and family said, let's go seize him, because he's out of his mind. Jesus, Mary, his brothers, he's out of his mind. Go get your brother. Go get him and get him in this house. We can't even eat. There's so many people out there. What is this? His Father in heaven. This was like, go get him. And they want to seize him. Jesus is out of his mind. And my question was, is this normal? Is this normal for us? It seems to be that they said Jesus is out of his mind. It seems to be as they watched Jesus do things, they went out of their mind in amazement. And now Paul and Timothy and the apostles are saying, if we look out of our mind, it's for him. And if we look sensible, because we come back and we have to explain it all to you. But so many of you say, we're out of our mind. And some of them say, it's the devil in you. That doesn't sound like nice little ministry to me. That sounds more like following Jesus to me. And so we have to make up our mind what we want. You want ministry? Church? Or you want to follow Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, it will be normal for them to look at us and go, those people are crazy. It will be normal for your family to look at you and say, my uncle's crazy. My aunt's crazy. My dad's crazy. My mom's crazy. My grandma's crazy. That's going to be normal. If we're going to follow Jesus. And you're going to feel that same tension between being out of your mind and then trying to talk sensibly to them and explain it to them while you're following Jesus out of your mind, apparently. Paul, rightfully so, I think, was called out of his mind. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this happened. And I'll be honest with you, there's no good explanation right here. There isn't one needed. Paul is following his Lord. And he's taken Timothy and Silvanus and different ones with him. They're not running from him, they're running to him. Listen as I read. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And this is how he does it. This is how Paul commends himself. This is how Paul says, I want you to look at my ministry and see that I am for real following Jesus. This is how I do it. We commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, and genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters, and yet we're true. As we're treated as unknown, and yet we're well known, as dying, and yet behold, we live, as punished, yet we're not killed, and as sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. We're treated as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. That's insane. No wonder they called him crazy. Let me just redo this for you. Here's what happens. Paul says, I'm going on a missions trip. The Lord has asked me to go to this town. So we went to this town. Lo and behold, they didn't like me there. I won a lot of people to Christ, but they beat me up. And so I got up and we left and I wanted to go to that town, but God said, no, he wouldn't let you go to that town. I want you to go to that town. And so I went to that town and I got thrown in jail. But I won some people to the Lord and I thrown in jail, and an earthquake came in the middle of the night and shook the jail wide open. And did we get out and we ran for the hills? No. The jail broke open, and we went to the jailer's house and led that family to the Lord. And then we came back to the city officials and said, don't hurt these guys. We've won them to the Lord. And so we got up and we said, we're going to leave this town and we're going to another town. And I think I'm going to go this way, but the Holy Spirit prohibited me and said, you go that way. And so we went to that town where Jesus took us. And you know what? They stoned me and left me for dead. And I got up and I went to the next town. And then do you know what the Lord told me? He said, I want you to go back to those same towns you just came from where you were stoned and left for dead. And I want you to go back because there's believers there and they need encouragement and they're worried about you. So I'm coming back. And I went back to those same towns. And you said, you're crazy, Paul. You're crazy, Paul. And he said, I'm following my Lord. I am following my Lord, and I'm not putting any obstacles or any hindrances or any restrictions on you. My heart's wide open. This is not church. This is following Jesus, and I know it looks crazy. I'm just going where he takes me. I'm only going where he lets me go and where he sends me to go. And I don't know why, but he's sending me to places, and it's some there of honor and some of dishonor, and some places I get slandered and some places I get praised, and some people, they treat me like I'm an imposter, and others love me and treat me like I'm telling the truth. There's sorrow and there's joy. I live a life of poverty, and yet I own all things. And Jesus led me all the way my Savior leaves me. And so he says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. No restrictions, no explanations needed. Here we are. To serve you and to love you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever the Lord wants our heart. Here we are, wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. It's your affections for religion that are restricting you. It's your loves that are restricting you. It's your people. It's your family. It's your church. It's your thing. It's your that you clutch onto that roller coaster bar, like you own it, that are restricting you. Everybody has a wall. Everybody has a wall that needs to come down. Everybody has a fence around their heart that needs to come down somewhere. Everybody has a parameter. I will only minister this far, this much to these people. Everybody has one that needs to come down. We need to widen our hearts. Stop restricting ourselves. We don't want a ministry, do we? We don't want a church. We want to follow Jesus. And I am just going to tell you, I don't know where he's taking us. But he's with us. And I don't know if they're going to slander us or honor us. I don't know if they're going to call us liars or recognize the truth. I don't know if they're going to say they're of the devil. I've been told I'm of the devil. I don't know. But I want to follow Jesus. And I guess the question I have to ask myself, and I am asking myself, and my walls are being torn down, and am I following Jesus or am I creating ministry? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, and you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask ourselves, what's the next step? Do I want to follow Jesus or do I just want ministry? I mean, ministry, you know what? Ministry is comfortable, it's secure, it's predictable, it's scheduled. I threw this whole service into an uproar this morning. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? They didn't know I was going to do communion and throw them in, and Casey was up here eldering, and he had to run that thing at the same time because I threw this whole place into an uproar when I said, let's do communion now. And it just so happened, they didn't know it, that those songs were perfect for communion. But I just threw the whole thing up in an uproar, and Amanda's over there, and the kids are literally climbing on top of her like this, and she's like this, and she needed four more arms. And there's these kids, and they're all over, and everybody's just like, would you hurry up? I threw this whole place into an uproar this morning. I don't know why, I just wanted to, and I felt like, yes, it would be a great time to do communion, and the songs worked out perfectly. I don't know. I just want to follow Jesus. I don't care. I really don't care. And I really don't want to create a ministry where we can come in and just sit down and go, this is comfortable, this is secure, this is predictable. Now it's much easier. The time, see, goes from 10:30 to 12, it's okay. So I don't want that. I want Jesus. I want life. I want us to follow Him wherever He takes us, however He takes us, to whoever He takes us. Take that church and throw it in the landfill. I want Jesus. That's what I want. And that's what this was. That's what this is right here. That is life in Christ. That is reconciliation in Christ. And now you've been handed off the baton of reconciliation in Christ. And so now you go, hey, God, what town are we going to next? That one looks pretty sweet over there. No, you're going to that town. And what awaits us there, I don't know. But when you get done there getting beat or whatever happens, I've got the next stop already. That's following Jesus. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I have that crazy relationship with Jesus? Am I there? Have I widened my heart? Have I opened my heart to say, take me, Jesus, lead the way, where are we going? Jesus, take the wheel, as Carrie Underwood likes to say. Am I okay with people saying, you are crazy for this Jesus fellow? Or am I careful, cautious, nice, easy, comfortable, secure, hard to move? Wednesday night, we watched a DVD that was pretty amazing, of a girl named Rochelle Starr. And I think I'm going to bring it next Sunday morning at 9:30 and play it downstairs for any of you that didn't see it, that would like to see it. If you want to come early, it's only a half an hour. We'll watch it next Sunday morning at 9:30 downstairs, and we may have a couple minutes just to be in mind-blowing amazement. Young mom, lady, I'm going to guess 30s, grown up in the church and left the church because of the church. Her and her husband moved to Florida to get away, kind of. They left that just to kind of go explore life on their own terms, left all that church kind of behind them. Some things happened at church that kind of pushed them out of it, and they were living the good life in Florida. Lo and behold, her husband was listening to the Bible on radio on his way to work. And lo and behold, she didn't know it. He was growing in Christ and applied for a church job in New Albany, Indiana. And eventually they went back to New Albany, Indiana as in ministry. And now she has to teach Bible studies and youth things. And she doesn't even really like ministry or religion. And she's driving around not knowing and kind of going, God, what am I doing here? And lo and behold, there is a X-rated strip club over there. And somehow God speaks into her heart and soul and says, there's your ministry. I want you to go in that strip club and minister to them ladies. And she does. And long story, I won't go into it. Come next Sunday and watch this at 9:30 in the morning. She ends up going in there, and she ends up working with them. How she got the name of her ministry, it's absolutely mind-blowing, amazing what has happened there, going into the strip club and cooking and taking food and serving the strippers in the strip club. That's following Jesus. That isn't comfortable, secure. I have my 401k and my seat where I sit in church. Thank you. That is not that. That is nothing like that. That is not what we want. We have to run from that, get away from that, follow Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. And I don't know if it's going to be a strip club for you. I don't know where it's going to be for me. I don't know what it's going to be for us. I know that life is found following Jesus, not holding up in a comfortable, safe, and secure building on Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12, hopefully. And what I do believe is that there isn't a person in this building who can't walk with Jesus and follow him and have this amazing life. And we will need each other when brothers and sisters over here have ventured out following Jesus and come back whooped and beaten and stoned, and we are going to need each other to go, man, I'm praying for you and I'm with you and I'm going to. We need each other when we follow Jesus. Oh, when we create a beautiful little environment, we don't need each other. Matter of fact, we usually tell each other, oh, I'm fine, great, thanks, see you later, bye, I'm going home. And we come and sit down and we rest in peace, and then we go home, and then we live life. We don't need each other. We don't even know each other. But if we decide to follow Jesus, we're going to need each other. We're going to need to fall all over each other. Love all over each other. Because ministry happens when that young girl is lying up in the hospital, maybe on the edge of losing her life. And all of a sudden the family starts talking like, pray for us. Pray for me. What? Pray, what do you mean? You didn't go to church. What do you mean? I didn't know you thought that. Pray for me. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for my family? Will you pray for my daughter? It's in that turmoil that Jesus works. That's when we need each other. Following Jesus. There's no explanation for it. I can't describe it to you. I can't explain it to you. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know. I just know Jesus, Dr. Jesus, came walking in the room and said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Get up, girl. And everybody else laughed, and then the girl got up. That's all I know. There's no explanation. But that's what I want. That's what we're starting to do, because Jesus is here. Jesus has chosen to bless this group. And I don't know why, and I don't know what it's going to do, and I can't map it out for you. I just know your Lord is here nearby, And he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Are you ready? Let's go. I'm about to tell you what the next town is. Are you here? Are you ready? He is here. Hang on. Hang on. We're ready to go. And when you get to the top of the hill, you put your hands up. You put your hands up. And you enjoy it. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. We trust you. We trust you. Here we are. Point the way. It's all you need to do. Point the way. We're ready. We widen our hearts to you. Tear down our walls. Lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.